Are we good?
Yep.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I'm Emily.
And I'm Vince.
And this is The Lighthouse Lowdown.
That was good.
Dance moves over here.
That's right.
And that's why we don't have video. So I did manage to do a history buoy today.
Nice.
And it's the one I've been promising. So I'm just delivering on all aspects.
Let's hear it.
So we'll just go right in, I guess. I'm going to cover the USLHS membership tiers.
What's the USLHS?
Go to our podcast episode number
40-something.
Oh, it's too much.
40-something. United States Lighthouse Society.
Yeah.
So please continue.
Thank you. Basically, you can have a membership with the USLHS, and the money goes towards all kinds of lighthouse fun stuff like restorations and grants and like tours and stuff. And you get some stuff out of it too. You get access to a lot of USLHS, like digital archives, and there's a bunch of cool stuff, but I'll say it all.
Nice. All lighthouse related.
Yeah, for sure. So I just pulled up the memberships. There's 2 digital memberships and 4 physical memberships.
Heck yeah.
So when you start a membership, it runs from 12 months from whenever you start. So that's nice. All membership levels include the Passport Club enrollment, which Vince and I talked about in the United States Lighthouse Society episode.
Yep. It's a good one.
It's a lot of fun stuff. It's stamps and stuff. And then you also get access to the Keeper's Log Journal and the Digital Research Catalog.
All memberships.
Okay. Yeah. So to sign up, you can go to the membership tab on uslhs.org. And you can also print out a membership form and mail it if that's easier for you. But you can also fill it out online. And then with a lot of the tiers, you get stuff for signing up, and they'll send it to you in the mail just like as normal. So So here are the tiers. We got 2 digital. First one's passport level. It's $25 per year. You get a passport book to collect all your stamps in. And you also get access to various stamps like holiday stamps, the yearly stamps, and half-off collectible stamps, which I haven't done yet, but I'm going to do this year. You also get the Stamp Flashes newsletter for any stamp-related news, which is basically like if they change the location of where you get the stamp for a lighthouse, then they'll put it in a newsletter.
Oh, cool.
And update their website. And this is a new thing. I'm not sure if you know about this, but you signed up more recently than I have, so you might have noticed it. But it's called the Lighthouse Enthusiast Community.
It's like a, I'm not trying to insult it. It's like a chat, social.
Kind of,
social forum.
Yeah. So it's like a platform where you can plan your trips, keep track of lighthouse visits, and compare your totals, photos, and notes with other participants.
It's like the original Facebook wall.
Yeah, but it's like you keep track of all the lighthouses you've been to, and then so like you can say, okay, I went to lighthouses in Maryland, and you click Maryland, click the lighthouse, and then you can add photos, what dates you were there, how many times you've been, like stuff like that. And it's super cool. So unfortunately, they don't have all the lighthouses. You know, it's like it's only if they're basically if there's a stamp for it, then like it's probably on this list. That. Yeah. So like the Milliken State Park one in Detroit, that one is not on this list. So I don't get to count that I went to Milliken State Park.
Oh.
And now I'm like, oh, bummer. Or like Nomizaki in Japan. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's not going to be on there. But they do have some international lights. Like
really?
British Columbia. The UK, there's some, you know, just like a couple select lighthouses. When I input what lighthouses I had been to, I'm ranked 485th.
That's pretty good.
Lighthouse visits.
That's pretty good.
But that's the people who participate in the community. So it was a pretty hefty, I mean, I filled out 7 lighthouses on there. Yeah. So that's a pretty hefty amount of people on there.
You may have to show me. So when I signed up, I know we got more to say, but when I signed up, there was, there's so much.
Yeah.
Because I signed up for we're going to get to the Keeper membership. So I was able to encompass all of those kind of hatching memberships. So there's a lot. I was excited most about my patch.
Well, I didn't even know about this until I started doing this history buoy. And then I was like, what the heck is this?
And it's pretty new, it sounds like.
I don't know.
Or at least new to you.
New to me. I just found out about it.
So. Cool.
It's under the resources tab on uslhs.org for people who want to check it out. And you have to like create a password and a login in order to get in. But other than that, there's nothing else to do.
Cool.
Pretty neat. And so our second digital membership is the eKeeper level, $35 per year. It has all the passport perks plus access to a bulletin newsletter and 10% off USLHS merch.
Nice.
It's pretty good.
Their merch is pretty cool too.
They do have nice.
We looked at that
as
our episode.
It's nice and simple. It's not like, you know that shirt that I wore whenever we went to go visit Currituck Beach Lighthouse?
Yeah.
I just really like lighthouses, okay? Like, it's the dumbest shirt ever. And it's easy for places that are so gung-ho on one subject, like lighthouses, to have merchandise that's, like, really loud and, like, tacky and stuff. But these are, like, really nice. Like, you actually want to wear it. It's just, like, the logo. It's very tasteful.
You bought the hat as well. Mm-hmm. That, should we have gotten a discount?
Yeah, but I...
We didn't enter it.
No.
And we're supporting lighthouses.
I just didn't know about it, so I just carried on. The first physical level is the keeper level, which Vince here has...
Represent.
...is keeper level. It's $50 per year. You got all the perks of the digital tiers, plus you receive the Keeper's Log Journal and the Lighthouse Fun for Kids quarterly publications. You also get a keeper embroidered patch, so every time you sign up for like one of the physical... tiers, then you get a patch that matches, like if you're looking at our YouTube, it's what's on the screen.
Super cool.
Yeah. You also get a USLHS membership card upon request. So you have to ask for it. When I signed up, I guess maybe 2 years ago, I just got one in the mail. So they must have just made it to where now you have to ask for one. But it's just kind of cute. I keep it in my wallet just for funsies.
Nice. That's awesome.
Oh, I am a beacon level. Beacon level is $75 per year. It's all the digital tier perks, plus a beacon level patch and a USLHS lapel pin.
That is a really cool patch as
It's the coolest patch. My favorite is the prism patch. So the prism's $150 a month. We're going way up on cost. No. Per year. $150 per year. Beacon level perks, you also get a prism patch and a USLHS holiday ornament, which they custom design each year. So it's different every year.
That's pretty cool.
The last level is the Illumination membership. It's $250 for the year. It has all prism level perks, a Illumination patch. You receive a USLHS hat and shirt, I think.
On an annual basis.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you also get $100 off any USLHS lighthouse tour.
Super cool.
Yeah.
They've done a great job with this program.
They have, and it's so much fun. Like, I love to be a part of it.
I have questions. Is now a good time?
Sure.
And you may not remember, but...
Okay.
So I'm a keeper level membership. That's what I felt I could pay right now, year to year, and keep it going, which I would like to do, rather than sign up and then, you know, let it lapse. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned starting with the passport membership. The passport program, which we've talked about before.
Yeah.
I have not received my passport. Is that in error or do I need to go request it from somewhere? Do you know that?
Oh, that's interesting. I'm trying to remember how I ended up with my passport because I don't think when I signed up the first time that I got the passport in the mail.
I must admit I didn't do all the work I should have done in reading and...
Yeah, I'm trying to remember.
I was a little bit overwhelmed when I signed up with all the things that I got.
Yeah.
Which is great. I remember I got a letter that was nice. I got my patch. But I got to look into my passport because I'd like it before we go on our trip.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. Well, cool.
So yeah, that's the membership tiers. It's pretty rewarding, especially for people like us who use their digital archives a lot. So it makes sense for us to give back to the people that are...
Oh, yeah. They do a fantastic job.
Right.
The big one, the Illumination membership, is tempting to me because I think that's the coolest patch.
Yeah. Is it the colors?
I like the color. I mean, I like the yellow and blue of both Keeper and Beacon as well. Yeah. And eKeeper. But Illumination, that's like the bold text and the Fresnel lens. I don't know. It's cool. Fresnel. Gosh, I'm still doing that. I wonder why you're looking at me like that.
Because then I started second guessing myself, and I was
so long.
It's gotta be
Fresnel, folks. Yeah. But it's a cool patch, and I really wanted a hat and shirt.
Yeah.
Now, do I need a new one every year? Of course, absolutely.
I was like, you can't say no. But it's so
For the moment, I haven't swung for the price yet.
Right.
But I think it's great that it's out there. There's probably a lot of people who can do that. And mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah. One of these days, I mean, every year so far, I've been upping my membership. So, and if they keep the same patch, I think so far the patches have been different every year for me that I've been signed up. And so if the Prism patch is the same next year, then I'm just going to do it.
Just do it. Cool.
So I'm going to jump into our lighthouse. Vince, this one is recognizable to you. You and I went and saw this lighthouse by happenstance in the Outer Banks just for funsies. So we had a little bit of free time and I was like, hey, there's this other lighthouse on the map that's not like part of our plan.
I'm so excited. I think I know what it is.
Yeah. So we went, and this was also when we went to like a cool distillery that was nearby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was so much fun. Nowadays, this lighthouse, you can only see a replica of the original. The original is Gonzo.
Really?
Yeah. So what we saw was the replica, which was built in 2004.
Wow.
Four different lighthouses have carried the name Roanoke Marshes Lighthouse at the Croatan Sound in North Carolina. So we're going to cover all four, and that includes the replica.
The what sound?
Croatan.
Croatian?
Nope. Why? What do you think I'm doing?
I just haven't heard that word before. And I was there. So
you haven't heard a lot of words.
You know what? That is true. So before you go further, this image is also on our YouTube page. It is our cover banner image. So
yes.
Check us out on YouTube.
That's right. Photo you took.
Yep.
And show you.
Oh,
right
yeah,
there.
Look at that.
Pull up a nice photo of us in front of the lighthouse.
Couple of handsome kids.
It's at the end of a really long pier. Like, it was so fun to just kind of stumble upon. I was on my knee scooter, so we had to kind of get over a hill.
Yep.
We parked in a weird spot. It was a whole adventure. And we saw a sailboat who went, and it went right by the lighthouse.
Yeah. Oh. I've got good photos. I will put in the effort now, as we continue to talk, to show those photos that I took that day. Kind of fun.
Yeah, because I wanted to see find the ones of the sailboat and everything, but I couldn't find them on your Facebook.
Yeah, they're not all posted.
Yeah.
There were so many photos that I didn't post them all. This is a nice one of us.
Yeah, and we just missed the museum hours, so we didn't get to go inside. We wondered why everyone cleared out from the pier right as we showed up. It was like everyone trickled out. We were like, what is going on? And we missed it by like 30 minutes.
It was cool, though. I mean, we got to see it basically on our own.
Right.
We didn't go inside. But, and I don't want to step on your content,
but peer in the windows.
Yeah, you could see the staircase inside. There's a spiral staircase.
Yeah, there was a boat in there.
A bell, I think. There's a bell. I have a close-up photo. I think the bell's right there, actually. Either way.
The first lighthouse went into service in 1831, so it's pretty early. It was abandoned after only 8 years for two reasons. First one being that it needed extensive repairs, so they were just like, we're done with it. And second is because a man, Mr. Van Pelt, claimed he owned the land after this 8 years and demanded a ridiculous sum of money for it. So instead of going through that whole debacle, they were just like, you know what? Let me just end it.
I bet that's a whole deal.
Yeah. Let me pull up a map.
The land. You'll have to get to the land because right now it's on a pier.
Yeah. So we were on an island. There was bridges that went from either side. Mm-hmm. It, for me, the memory was fuzzy of like, which direction we had to go to get there, because we went to the Outer Banks and then turned around and went back to Roanoke Island, which is what this is on.
What's that distillery? Let's see if I can find the name. Outer Banks Distilling. If you're in that area, it's pretty cool. Outer Banks Distilling. I seem to remember we really liked our cocktails there.
They were delicious.
Like rum-based old-fashioned in Long Island or something like that.
Kill Devil Rum. You're right.
That's a good day.
Okay, so I pulled up Roanoke Island. You can see Outer Banks off to the side. There's the Croatan Sound and Roanoke Sound. Manteo, I think, is how it's pronounced.
Manteo, maybe? I totally made that up.
Manteo. I don't know. I have it later, but it won't let me scroll through my notes. So that's where the lighthouse is now. But the original one was built at the very southern part of Roanoke Island against the Croatan Sound in Wan Chees or whatever that is. How do you think that's pronounced?
When Casey?
What?
We're going to have so much fun when we find out.
I know, I have to look it up.
Wan Casey? When Casey? When Chessy?
I'm like, Wan Cheese.
Wan Chessy. Wan Chessy. When Chessy. That's my guess.
Wan cheese.
Wan cheese?
Is what it says.
You're messing with me. All right, Wan cheese.
Wan cheese.
Now, what is this? Isn't this one of our lighthouses that we saw before? Is that what this marker on Google Maps is?
Yes. So that's a body island.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so it's right up next to it. That whole Wan cheese area is very marshy. And that's how we got Roanoke Marshes. Because there's also a Roanoke River lighthouse. So not to be confused with that.
Okay, so we had, I'm sorry. Manteo or Manteo.
Yeah.
Is the current location.
Manteo.
Manteo. I was just so wrong. Manteo sounds like a place though, doesn't it?
I mean, you can call it that if you want.
It's probably got a nice
Manteo.
Fresnel lens there.
Fresnel. You got me.
So down Wan cheese.
Yeah.
God, I think you're messing with me. Down, you're going to record me and use AI to repeat that forever. Down in Wan cheese was the original location in the 1800s.
I'm going to replace our podcast intro song with you saying Wan cheese. Wan
cheese. Like a foghorn. Manteo. Gosh. All right. So now, it's been relocated.
Yeah.
Or the model. How does that work? Was it a replica that was relocated? The original was relocated?
Why are you asking me? I'm going to tell you later.
Oh.
But I'm just saying that the original, actually, the first three lighthouses were in Wan cheese at the south part. And then the replica was built in Manteo. And I'll tell you why. So we've already gone through the first one. First one's done. Second one, 1853, a petition was sent to the lighthouse board saying they needed a new Roanoke Marshes light because the land where the original light was now being sold for a cheaper price.
Oh.
So they're like, hey, this guy has finally got some sense. So we should buy it. So Congress set aside $10,000 to build it in 1854, but it wasn't finished until 1858. I don't really know why. Just delays.
It's not too long.
It's 4 years. Solid. Is that normal in the construction world?
In lighthouse world, it seems like it's not that long. We've told some stories where it's taken a long time. That's true. I always go over budget. Always takes longer than they thought.
Yeah. So anyway, that one, so the second one, I couldn't find what the first one looked like. The second one was octagonal with a lantern room on top attached to the seabed by seven piles. But it was like marshy land, so it was like pretty shallow water. Mm. And I also had a fourth order lens with a fixed white light.
Cool.
So it was taken out of service by the Confederates during the Civil War, but reinstated in 1863. But within 10 years, the marsh land underneath the lighthouse had like washed away, like exposing more and more of the piles that it was on.
Yeah.
At that point, it was like in 10 feet of water. And so they were like, we need to either fix this or build a new one. But the support piles were surrounded by like cast iron where they were originally in the water. But because the water level changes and like corrosion, the wood was now totally exposed and had like shipworm.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they were totally compromised. So they added a trio of copper piles at each corner of the lighthouse, which it was an octagon shape. So like that's a ton of copper piles.
That sounds really expensive.
Yeah. But to fix all the damage would have been more expensive than a new lighthouse at that point. So Congress set aside $15,000 for a new lighthouse. And the difficulty of building at the current location meant that they had to wait for another $5,000 to come a year later in 1876 before they could start construction. So it's just more expensive than they anticipated. So this is, I pulled up a picture of the third lighthouse. So a year after that, 1877, the third Roanoke Marshes lighthouse was built. I like kind of like the boat.
That's so cool. Yeah.
So at this point, this is what you call, like originally when I first saw it, I was like, oh, it's an integral lighthouse, but it's actually called a screw pile lighthouse, which is not one that we covered in our lighthouse types history movie. So it's just because it's on screw piles that go into the seabed. And so it's called a screw pile lighthouse. And I'm sure there's like other things about it that make it different than just a lighthouse on piles.
So the structure itself is what makes it. It's not the shape of the building.
No.
The structure is screw pile. And screw piles screw into the bed?
I would think so.
They're put in.
I didn't look too deep into it.
It could be really interesting.
Yeah. I'll have to though because I left it out of our lighthouse types.
There's one I think the USLHS has a really close relationship with that's a similar style. I don't know if it's screw piles.
But oh, yes. It looks, I know which one you're talking about. It's also kind of like, they do like a tours. Hexagon or something, right? Mm-hmm. I know which one you're talking about. And it's like in a river or sound or something. Yes, it was part of the auction that they did for Lighthouse Visits.
That's right.
I really wanted it. But it was like, said it was for one night, it was worth like 500 something. And somebody bid $1,000 right away, so nobody else touched it.
Well,
like,
nice.
Dang it. And if you look at this picture, you can see it's exactly like the lighthouse that we went and visited.
That is,
just happens to be.
Yeah, there ain't no pier.
Where's the pier?
Ain't no bridge going out there.
It's a whole bunch of screw piles.
God.
So anyway, the third lighthouse, which you can see a replica of today, is white, and it's like a square dwelling with a light on top, supported by seven screw piles.
Mm.
The fog bell, boats, and fourth order lens were brought over from the old light, and then that one was dismantled. So
okay.
So anytime there's a Roanoke Marshes lighthouse, like a new one that's replaced, you know how like in a lot of instances they build a new lighthouse and then the other one's just left there to
falls
like
away or
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the Three Sisters one where they just fall into the ocean eventually. And they're like,
crazy.
Yeah, took care of that.
Recycled.
Yeah. So far there's only been one at a time, which is nice.
Yeah.
They probably find something to do with the other pieces. And
so you said they brought over the bell? That's really
cool. The bell,
cool.
Yeah, the bell, the boats, and the lens.
Now, the boats we did see, they're inside, weren't they? I forgot
about
them.
There was a boat in there, yeah. I wonder if it's supposed to be like what they have shown in this photo.
And, of course, the lens. That's really neat.
Yeah, of course.
Cool.
1886, so less than 10 years later, the light was changed to fixed red instead of a fixed white. Mm. And then 5 years after that, they changed it to a sector light. So refer to episode 36 for our sector light characteristic, blah, blah, blah.
And sectors are pretty cool.
I messed up the sentence I wanted to say. So
blah,
I
blah,
just,
blah.
Blah, blah, blah.
What episode is that?
36.
But okay, that was what I asked.
Oh, okay.
I've forgotten what number you just said.
It's after work.
Listen, if
it's
anyone listening to the podcast is like me, they said, "Yep, it's in an episode." She said the number. I don't
like. Could have been.
Could be anything.
Yeah. That doesn't reflect like on our relationship, though. You listen to me pretty well,
right? Sometimes we talk about episodes, and there's a lot of them. So.
Oh my God. The red sector that was part of this new light characteristic highlighted some of the dangerous areas in the Croatan Sound. And they did this by installing red glass panels in the lantern room. So I think that was like in the past, we've seen that they just put like a frame, like a metal frame inside the lantern room.
Mm-hmm.
But it would need to be fixed there. So maybe like screw it into the floor or something. And then there's a glass panel inside. So anytime the light flashes or if there's light,
right.
Yeah.
It surrounds the
it's not like, because at first I read that like they replaced
panels.
Prisms
oh,
with red.
Yes.
And I was like, that would be way too expensive when they could just put up a panel, like an actual panel.
Yeah.
So then I was thinking like, oh, maybe they replaced a panel of the actual lantern room with red, but it would be easier for them to just
do a surround.
Stick a piece of glass, yeah, and then just nail it to the floor.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't have the details about exactly how they did that, but.
You're probably right. Question.
Yes.
The sectors, when we looked at sector flash patterns, light patterns, you know, it was red, clear, and then green, or red, clear, red, or right. It had multiple options to help direct sailors.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So in this, is there a way that boats, ships, dinghies would come into the
sound?
Bay, the sound.
So
and they stay on that line.
I think it wasn't difficult to get into or out of the sound. And so it wasn't like it was warning of like the red part was like you're probably heading right towards the Roanoke Island and it starts to get marshy, you know, that's like shallow water and like stuff. And so it's like pick one way or the other. It's white on either side of this red.
I see.
So it's like you go into Roanoke Sound or you go into the Croatan Sound.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, like, and but I know what you're talking about. The other ones, it's like black or white or there's red where it's like,
We talked about, well, there's range lights and there's the one over the other. And
that's range.
There's another one that I'm thinking of. I have to go listen to my own podcast, apparently.
So anyway, shortly after that, they added 80 creosoted wooden piles, which I didn't
oiled.
Look. Huh?
I think that means they're oiled.
Yeah, I didn't look too deep into it, but it sounded like they put tar on it or something, and it makes them waterproof.
Yeah.
Or more water resistant.
Cool.
This lighthouse had been bumped into by 7 boats already. Oh my gosh. Like, just, are you blind? Like,
did you miss the lighthouse? That's funny.
It's insane. So after it was struck so many times, they decided to surround it with basically just like wooden beams sticking out of the water. It's like, if you get too close, you're going to hit a wood beam instead of the lighthouse.
So funny.
But I think they were kind of spread out. It was like to the north and south. And they were spread out like in clusters every 20 feet or something. And the range was like 150 feet from the lighthouse on each side. So it was a pretty big radius where you couldn't get too close to the lighthouse with your boat.
Nice.
1899, the station's fog bell was replaced as it had become badly cracked. And after 2 years, this was replaced with a blower siren operated by an oil engine. So just like air compressed.
Yeah.
Updating, you know, keeping up with the times.
But they kept the bell. They just didn't use it anymore because the bell is still there.
Yeah, they just didn't use it anymore. Okay. Or like maybe they included it in the replica because that was the original plan, was to have the bell up there. Or maybe that's not even the bell that they used for. Maybe it's just a little, I don't know. I don't know the details. It's a tiny bell, so.
Mm.
Yeah, I did include the photo that you took of the bell, so we'll see that in a little bit.
Cool.
I have a picture that I think shows some of the piles here.
Oh.
These wooden clusters.
Yeah.
So it seems like there should be more than that. And this is a really old photo.
Must be in line with the way ships would often come.
Yeah, it must have been. It looks like a lot of wide open water. It doesn't look that big on maps. But it's a cool picture. Have you seen?
That is a cool photo.
Like when you're looking through the USLHS archives, how many photos are postcards? Have you seen that?
No.
They used to do like postcards for lighthouses, and there was tons of them. Like at first they were drawings and then they were photos, and people submit them to the archives so that you can check them out.
That's cool.
I'll have to include some sometimes. I always kind of skip over them because the pictures aren't very clear. You know, we have really good ones now that aren't postcards.
I'm tempted to use this as our cover photo. Well, or I could put a picture of us. How rare is that?
Yeah.
As one of the cover photos. Everyone can see our beautiful faces.
They're like, who are these two random people?
Yeah, these white people. These Kansans who talk about lighthouses. Awful.
Oh, man. Anyway, I just thought this was a cool picture. Old. I wonder, it didn't say exactly what year it was taken in, so I wish I knew. During this time, when they added the new siren, the keeper was Charles Pugh. Well, the assistant keeper was Charles Pugh. P-U-G-H.
Oh.
And then he came back as head keeper in 1907. And he was repeatedly recognized for saving those in distress at the lighthouse. He was just a really good lighthouse keeper.
MVP. You
know? Yeah, we always talk about how keepers are, like, they're in charge of the light, but they're also, like, life-saving stations. They're also in charge of keeping an eye out. And at the very least, reporting if there was accidents or people that needed help. But most of the time, they were the kind of men that would just get up and be like, better get in my little boat that's hanging outside. Yeah. And
so much responsibility.
Better go get him. Yeah.
Crazy.
So he did all kinds. He like piloted disabled yachts into harbors.
Whoa.
I'm like, bro. My God. Would free boats from ice if people were stuck. Even transported those that were stuck on a seaplane to shore and then back again the next morning. So like went to go pick them up.
That's awesome.
So he was a really great guy. During the last year of World War I, the water froze around the lighthouse, and Pugh didn't get supplies for, like, weeks. And they just couldn't send anybody to get out there. And there was, like, I didn't put it all in here, but there was a story of, like, a Navy cook who was just, like he knew him or something and was like, I'm getting over there. Like, I'm going to go help him out. So he delivered supplies to this guy. I don't know how.
It sounds epic.
Yeah, if the lighthouse board was like, we can't help you. It's like, how did you get over here?
That's so risky too, I'm sure. Good for him.
Yeah. So Charles Pugh was awarded a Commissioner's Efficiency Star in 1916. This was something I mentioned in the uniform history buoy, and I didn't make note of what episode that was, but that was a good history buoy. I loved that one, talking about the uniforms. I think it was an earlier episode. So He got another one in 1922 and a superintendent's efficiency star in 1924, which there must have been many more than that because you only get a commissioner's star after you're awarded three consecutive superintendent stars.
Wow.
So he was, basically, he was very well kept and he was an excellent keeper. So
keeper of the month,
back to
back.
He was often rewarded for being such a good guy.
Now, were these like stars that they would decorate their uniforms with?
Yes, pins that they would wear on their uniforms.
That's pretty cool.
So cool.
Very official.
And then at the end of the year, they would send them back. So then it was like
it's a temporary holder.
Yes,
for honor.
You got to honor it. Yeah, and then send it back.
That's pretty neat.
The first keeper at the first lighthouse, actually the only keeper at the first lighthouse, because he was there the entire eight years, was Little John Pugh. And so it's the same last name, although you can't assume that they're related just because it's the same last name.
Yeah.
But Pugh is kind of a...
It seems unique.
Yeah. So I don't know if there was any relation there, but it also made me realize that Little John was actually a name. Like, it wasn't a nickname. On the birth certificate, Little John.
Hmm.
Two words, Little John.
I knew a guy whose last name was Little John. All one
really?
Word. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I think of in the Robin
rapper.
Hood. Huh?
The rapper Little John.
No. Oh, no. No, I'm thinking about...
Robin Hood?
Yeah, the bear, Little John.
Oh, I forgot that character.
Robin Hood and Little John walking through the forest. I think it's Little John, isn't it?
I don't know.
Now I'm confused because there's a Prince John, isn't there? Oh, what's wrong with me? Let's see. Robin Hood and Little John. Okay, so I was right.
How does that go? Sun, the other one.
Running through the forest, laughing back and forth to what the other has to say.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on. The lighthouse, the third one, was decommissioned by the Coast Guard in 1955. I can't remember exactly what happened. And like, because I feel like that's a pretty good spot for a lighthouse. Like, because the island is, you have to split around the island to go into either sound.
Right.
You'd think you'd want a lighthouse there, but maybe it was just because it was hard to get out to because you'd have to row. Like, you can't walk to the lighthouse.
I don't know.
But anyway, they decommissioned in 55 and they suggested the town of Manteo purchase it and relocate it. What did I say?
Relay.
Relocate.
Relocate. Relocate.
Oh, we never record at 7.
7?
7 o'clock.
It's not 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Oh my gosh.
We got to go to bed in like an hour.
Oh my gosh. What happened?
Relocate it to the town waterfront. So I'm not really sure, and I was almost, what is that, Canadian waterfront?
I don't think that's Canadian, but I've heard people say that. You get a wash down.
Wash.
Waterfront. That was my football coach. I don't think he's Canadian. He's just redneck.
Oh, no. Okay, I'll just follow my notes. I am interested. Why Manteo? Like, why did they? Why did the Coast Guard say, "Hey, maybe it's like the only major like city"?
It seems
or city, the major like town on this island.
So the
like, you should take it
where it's at now. And I don't mean to step on your content again, but it's a nice downtown. Remember how like nice
old,
stores?
Yeah, like an old downtown.
Beautiful condos and apartments, mm-hmm.
like a historical downtown. Is
historical
what I was
and looking. Expensive.
Very nice.
I don't mean that as a criticism.
Yeah,
looks
no,
like
but
a wonderful,
really nice.
Nice
every,
place.
Like flowers planted mm-hmm. in every space and like everything's painted white. Like it's not dirty. It's very
so
clean.
Potentially, there's a history there of that was like
the
trade
spot.
Center.
Yeah,
like
true.
The what is it? The harbor. Because there was
a little bit
a
of
harbor
a, yeah.
there. Yeah.
Yeah, the sailboats.
Yeah.
Had so to go somewhere.
That might be.
True.
I don't know. I'm guessing.
But before Manteo could purchase it, an Elijah Tate bought it, some random civilian, probably with money to spare, and cut the lighthouse from its foundation and placed on a barge to deliver to its new home. So just lighthouse sitting on a barge. However, just as it was on the move, rough seas literally toppled the lighthouse off of this barge and it sunk into the Sound.
No way.
Yeah, and I couldn't find... And like an approximate location of where it is. So it's just like dunzo. That's twice now I've said that in this podcast.
Dunzo. 1, 2, 3,
dunzo.
I wonder if it totally was destroyed or if like the lighthouse itself sank to the bottom.
Yeah, well, in the couple of like
that's crazy.
Couple of sources. Toppled is a word that makes it seem like it didn't fall apart or anything. It just slid off the barge.
Sure.
So anyway, that's just like lost.
Can you imagine? Jimmy, did you do those ratchet straps?
I figured.
Right.
This guy, he bought a couple of other screw pile lighthouses in the area as well.
Elijah was collecting lighthouses.
Elijah, yeah. He was like, you know what really makes me a lighthouse enthusiast is to own them.
And he cut it off.
Put him in my backyard.
Next to my Hummer.
Yeah.
He put him on a barge, and then his barge didn't sink, but it lost the lighthouse.
But it rocks, and I guess.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. What, did you have it on wheels? Don't know. And we'll never know.
Could make a cool t-shirt, a lighthouse toppling into the ocean.
Rip Roanoke Marshes 3.
The SS Elijah. The
third. So the town of Manteo did not give up, and they decided to build a replica as part of their 1999 centennial celebration.
Okay.
But due to funding delays and a couple of hurricanes.
I should not laugh. I'm
it
sorry.
It was pushed back past the centennial moment and instead was built in 2004. So okay. There's a lot of time, but they made it happen.
Great. We almost saw it 20 years later.
I know.
It's crazy.
I know. And it was, we were like, why is it 2004? Like, why?
Yeah.
Do they build lighthouses?
I forgot about that.
It was so early on.
We didn't know yet. Yeah.
I mean, Outer Banks was episode 10. So.
So cute.
It's fun. We've come so far.
Yeah. We do slightly better job at this point.
We have a system now at the very least.
Marginally.
So anyway, they built this replica where the wastewater plant used to be for Manteo. I got a little picky.
They had a what? What?
A wastewater plant at the end of the pier on the water.
Oh my gosh.
Isn't that wild?
I thought it smelled like shit.
No. You.
No, it was beautiful.
Yeah, so cool little photo.
I am glad that they relocated that.
Yeah, because you know that was just like being discharged into the water.
The fish loved it.
Ew.
Oh, yeah. Disgusting. Good fishing right there.
Moving on. The Coast Guard loaned a fourth order lens for display in the lantern room so you can like climb up and go and see it.
Very cool.
And you can go in and check out their museum, which we talked about, run by the Roanoke Island Maritime Museum.
I can't believe.
And here's some photos you
wow,
took.
Who took those?
They're so good and so clear. See, we actually had a great opportunity
I
with
really
nobody
like
else on the pier. Like, it turned out really nice.
Yeah, it was carefully timed. I was waiting for people to walk out of sight, but that's normal. What is that year on there? Does that say 19?
I don't know. It looks like it says U.S. Coast Guard 1948.
I almost hit my face on the microphone. 1948.
And that was 7 years before they decommissioned it. So I wonder if the Coast Guard was like...
Decommissioned
the old one. Yeah, I don't know about this. A bell would have been lost with the lighthouse. So is it a replica?
Yeah, it's all a replica.
I just don't know if the Coast Guard also like donated a bell. Can you make a replica that includes something that says USCG?
I think you can.
Oh. I don't know details.
There's probably some licensing stuff, but
probably would have been cool with it.
Well, when we go back, we can ask them.
Yeah.
I'd like to go back to this area. I would too.
We've
got a lot of trips to go on, so it'll be a bit. But the Outer Banks was fun. Roanoke Island was really fun. It seemed like a nice place you could just stay and enjoy staying there.
Yeah, and I remember we said that whenever we went and saw this area. We were like, oh, we should have stayed a night in this little town and seen everything. But we just didn't know. We just didn't know no better.
Well, and on the map, as we saw, it's not far from Nag's Head, which is another...
Very close.
Busy place for the area. So very cool. Good job.
That's Roanoke Marshes Lighthouse. So I'll have to cover Roanoke River sometime. It's different, which is nice. Like visually, it's a pretty different lighthouse. Also cool. Screw pile.
What's this lighthouse on screen?
That's the lighthouse Lowdown logo. All right. Well, that's what I got.
Very good.
Everyone check out our website, thelighthouselowdown.com. You can also send us an email at thelighthouselowdown@gmail.com, or you can also send us a message through our website. You can watch our videos on there. Also, you can go to our YouTube I'm pretty sure if you click on a video on our website, it'll take you to YouTube.
Yep.
So you do either way like that. We have a LinkedIn. You can check out our Instagram. And we hope you enjoyed listening.
Got lots of cool things coming up.
And we'll catch you next time on the Lighthouse. Lowdown.